You may be seated. Get your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm excited about teaching this tonight. I just love being home in my own church. Amen. Around my own people. And Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start reading in verse number 29. I want you to follow along. Keep your Bibles open because we're going to use them tonight. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, this is an enjoyable parable for me, kind of a fun one. It's mentioned here in Matthew 24. It's also mentioned in Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 37, Luke chapter 21, verses 29 through 33. It's given in all three, Matthew, Mark, Luke. May I say this again? I know I've said it before. When God says something once, it's important. But if God repeats it three times, you better know it's pretty important. It's vitally important that we understand this. Now, let me help you with something. The word parable, I've said it before, it's the Greek word parabole. It means a line of symmetry. That means what's on one side of the line is equal to the other side of the line. You'll hear people say, well, a parable is it's a story that presents a moral truth. No. A parable means it tells a story, it illustrates a truth. The story and the truth are co-equal, they're symmetrical. The story is not the issue, the truth is. It's an illustration, this parable is an illustration of what the truth is. It's where we get the geometry term parabola. A parabola is an arch that has the same angles on both sides. And that is the Greek word for parable or parabola or however you want to say that. Got my tongue tangled up and can't say it. I'm looking too far ahead in my notes. Now, Jesus gives us this parable for two specific reasons. This one's a little unique that it's kind of got a double-edged sword on it. But there's two specific reasons given for this parable, and it's clearly stated and needed for this day in particular. I believe all the parables, but I believe of all the parables, this one may be the most pertinent to our generation. And I want you to see what it talks about here. Jesus tells us to learn the parable. Look at verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. That wasn't a request, was it? Sounded like he meant we should learn something from this, right? When a fig tree begins to get leaves on its branches, the Bible says you know that summer is near. Now, I did some studying. And I found out that fig trees are the last of the trees to get their leaves in the spring. They generally don't get their leaves until, in our area, it would be late May to early June. They are the last ones to get leaves. And when the fig trees start bearing their leaves, you can guarantee summer's heat is about to come on. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. That look at it again. When verse 32, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. That's exactly what the parable is. He said, look, the parable is this. When the fig trees start putting their leaves forth, you better be ready for summer, because summer's just around the corner. It's not like early spring when the crocuses or the daffodils start poking their heads up. This is late spring. This is like Memorial Day waiting on middle of June to get here. Just a couple weeks from the time they start popping leaves, summer is upon us. Now, what in the world does this story illustrate? It may seem a little strange, but there's a two-sided truth that goes with it. Jesus is telling us, number one, that his word, his Bible, is a certainty. He talks about the word of God and its certainty. But he also talks about the rapture and the second coming of Jesus. So they're kind of co-equal here. And we're going to go through this. I'm going to give you both of these truths tonight in a hurry. And I want to help you. Now, first of all, God's word is truth and living truth for all generations. I hold in my hand the King James Bible, the only one God wrote for English-speaking people. Anything else is man's words, not God's words. And we'll get into that in a moment. But may I say this, when God breathed these words, they're still alive today. How many of you, I know you were there, but you don't remember, when you took your first breath as a baby, they cracked you on the bottom end, and they sucked all the stuff out, and you started crying and sucking air. You don't have to have breath put into you again unless you're near death. When God breathed into man, he didn't have to keep breathing to keep him alive. God breathed into the word of God, and it's still breathing today because it's still alive today. It didn't die. The inspiration of the scriptures did not die. They are not just preserved, they are inspired. Do you know what the opposite of inspire is? Expire. Do you know what expire means? You're going down to Pleasant View. They're going to put you in a box. God says here that his words, look at verse number 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Right.
How many of you ever heard or have used the term when somebody died that they passed away? Y'all heard that? It's a scriptural term. Those two words, passed away, in the Greek, literally mean death. If you go to some hospitals or VA hospital or something like that, they have sections in the hospital, Miss Wally, you'll recognize this, called palliative care. That's what the word is in the Greek here, is palliative, means death, death watch. It is a word in reference, and God says, heaven shall pass away. You say, heaven's going to die? Yep, because there was sin there with Satan. He's going to remake the new heaven and the new earth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible will not die. Now, the words pass away are very important there. God tells us that his words are eternally present tense. That means they're always applicable. That means they're for every generation. They're as alive now as the day they were given to man. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice capital W. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, capital W. And the Word, what's the next statement there? Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 14. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Guess what? Jesus is the Word of God. And as long as Jesus is alive, the Word of God is alive. When it's capitalized, that is a specific person, place, thing. All right? That's standard grammar. So it says, by the way, is Jesus dead? Guess what? If he's still alive, so is the Word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. If you've been in church any time at all, this verse is not new to you, but you might not understand one of the words. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick. I want you to notice that word, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now look at me. The word quick does not mean fast there. How many of you have ever broken your fingernail off in the middle down there in the quick, the living part of your fingernail? The word quick there means life-giving, alive. In botany or in farming, a lot of times they'll check a tree or a plant and they'll say, see if there's any quick to it. And they'll take a branch and tear it off and see if inside there's any life. May look dead on the outside, but it's if it's alive on the inside, it's got a chance to make it. It has some quick to it. And that is exactly what God says here. For the Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You say, well, you're kind of stretching it there, preacher. Turn to Psalm 119. The Word of God is very consistent. Psalm 119. I love these. We're going to look at about 6 or 8 verses here in Psalm 119. So hang on, lick your finger. Don't stick it in somebody's ear, but lick your finger. Psalm 119, look at verse number 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That doesn't mean make me fast. It means make me alive. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. I'm about to die. My soul is about to die. Quicken thou me with thy word. It is the Word of God that gives your soul life. That's the word quick again. Look at verse number 50. Psalm 119, verse number 50. The Bible says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. When you're afflicted and need something, you feel like you're about to lose it or your spirit is about to die, God says his word can quicken you. It can bring you back to life. Look at Psalm 119, verse 107. Psalm 119, 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Have you noticed that the Word of God and life go together? Guess what happens when you don't have the Word of God? You have what? Death. Look around us. Look how dead in trespasses and sin this world is. Look how far away from the Bible we've gotten and how dead our society is. Look at verse number 149. Psalm 119, 149, the Bible says, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Quicken me. Judgments is another word for the word of God here. God says his word will give you life. Look at Psalm 119, 154. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. There it is again. Look at Psalm verse 156. And it's on two pages here. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Have you noticed that the word quick and the word of God go together often in scripture? Not just in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Look at Matthew chapter 4. The word of God is alive today. I get upset when people mess with the word of God. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil, and he responds to the devil's first temptation in verse number 4. Watch this. But he answered and said, it is written. Where is it written? The Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I didn't say it. God did, correct? God said, man cannot live unless we have every word that was spoken out of the mouth of God, correct? That means there has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or man cannot live. God did not inspire thoughts and men wrote them down. God did not put thoughts into the mind of man and man put them on paper. Because man's mind is sinful and man would not have gotten it right. God spoke the words. He inspired us. Did you know you have to have breath cross your vocal cords in order to speak? Guess what? He gave breath, inspiration to his words by speaking them to man as man put them down. Now listen to me. I get upset when people want to mess around with the word of God. I don't sit around with people who don't have the right Bible. I don't listen to preachers who preach from the wrong Bible. I don't read material that comes from the wrong Bible. I don't care who it is. I don't care if they used to be right and now they're just, well, they're just using it as a clarification in their book. I still throw it in the trash. People will bring me a wrong Bible and say, preacher, what should I do with it? I said, let me have it. I'll give you a new one. And I take it and I throw it in the trash right in front of them. That's a Bible. No, it's an imposter. It's not real. Say, doesn't that make you afraid? Not in the least bit. And the more of them I can throw away, the better off we are. Amen. Have a party, burn it. I don't care what you do with it, but get rid of it. God's words are alive and they give life to man. By the way, the less we preach it, the less alive our generation is. God wants us not only to believe his words, he wants us to trust his word. I know a lot of people that believe the word of God, but they don't do anything with it. We're not to read the Bible like any other book. It's supposed to be applied to our life. Turn back to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. I'll let God say it for me. Psalm 119, look at verse number 89. This proves that the Bible is still the same today as it was forever. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Guess what? His word is forever. But let's keep reading. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Oh. What's to all generations then? His word. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been in my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end to all of all perfection, but thy commandments is exceeding broad. Can I tell you something? The word of God is to all generations. And it's just the same today. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't respect Catholic doctrine. But I don't respect Calvinism as much as I don't respect Catholicism. Calvinism says God's in control of everything. And every little event God decided. That's not true. We chose to sin. God didn't.
That's right.
We face consequences for our sin. It's not God's fault. Now listen to me. Calvinism said, well, you have Old Testament. You have New Testament. You know what the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is? Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament. He came in the New Testament, and we look back in the New Testament. Did you know much of the Old Testament is still the same today as it was back then, as far as what we're supposed to do about it? Now, things in reference to the priesthood, the temple, and everything else, he fulfilled all those. We don't have to abide by those things. I will agree with you. He fulfilled them all, but he made them more strict in the New Testament since he did fulfill them all. The Bible is not to be read like any other book. I do a lot of reading. I read a lot. I probably have read more books than most people in this room. Not all, probably, but most. May I say something? You don't read the Bible the same way you read any other book. This one's alive. It's not just like a history book that's recorded somewhere. You can't start in chapter 1, verse number 1, and get to the end, and it's all continuity. The Bible was put together for man to study, not just read.
Amen.
Okay? There, by the way, all other man's versions, other than the King James Bible, are man's versions. Well, we have older texts. We have more contemporary texts. Guess what? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Amen.
There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or we're all going to die and go to hell.
That's right.
Now, Jesus was telling us by this parable that as sure as summer is going to follow the opening of the fig leaves, the word of God is sure. You can count on it.
Yes, sir.
You can bank on it. You can trust it. You know that it's true. We read in Psalm 119 verses 89 and following about the fact that God established the earth. Guess what? Sun's coming up in the morning.
Amen.
I flew out of here Friday morning and it was raining. You know, we didn't get 10,000 feet above the clouds and all of a sudden it was bright sunshine. You might not see it down here, but it's still shining up there. Everybody doing okay? Guess what? What God put in order, it's still going. The tides keep going. The sun keeps coming up, keeps going down. The moon keeps going in its phases. You have all the stars that go from their circuits, and we can predict where we are on Earth based on the stars and all the alignment of those things. Those things never change. Say why? God put them in order. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the atmosphere. He put just the right amount of oxygen and things in the air here, close to the earth. Did you know once you get a mile or so up, things start getting a little tougher? I went elk hunting a couple few years ago. We camped at 6,500, 7,000 feet, and we hunted all the way up to 10,000 feet. We were almost 2 miles up. I don't care who you are. Man, you're sucking. I trained for 9 months. That air is thin. You don't acclimate real fast to that. You have to grow up there and get your lungs used to that thing. And I'm thinking, man, how do these critters live up here? I'm about to die. I did 42 miles on boot leather at that altitude in 5 days. Trust me, I was whooped. And it wasn't just a casual walk. It was a 1 mile walk from where we camped to where I would go hunting in the morning. But it was a vertical elevation over 2,000 feet in 1 mile. Dink. It was not a fun walk. You say, what is that? God put it in place. Guess what? It's still there. And God's words are sure. Now, just as sure as when the leaves on the fig tree come, summer's to follow, you can bank on the word of God being true. Number two, just as sure as his words are alive and true, Jesus will come back at the rapture one day.
Amen.
Now, this is the part that I want to get excited about. Look at Matthew chapter 24 again. I was working on this on the airplane and people thought I was nuts, man. I was having a good time. This older lady was sitting next to the window and she kept looking at me. She kept looking at me and I'd say, she said, you've got to be a preacher. I said, yes, ma'am, and I'm excited. She said, I ain't never seen an excited preacher. And I'd work a little more, and she said, what are you excited about? And I was talking about the rapture and Jesus coming back. And she just looked at me. She thought I was some weirdo. She said, man, I have never met a preacher that is as excited as you. I said, don't blame me for where you go to church. And she just looked at me. She said, you didn't say that, preacher. Yes, I did. Now, look at Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not till the flood came that took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he's talking about the rapture here. And God says, we don't know when it's coming, but he said, when it's like it was in the days of Noah, that's when the fig leaves are starting to come out. No one knows when Jesus is coming back. I'm going to make a statement here that you're going to turn your nose up, but I'll show it to you in a second here. Jesus doesn't even know. Look at verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father, what's the last word? Only. If you went to Mark chapter 13, verse 32, you find the exact same verse said that it's my Father only knows. Only God the Father knows when it's coming. Jesus himself does not know. I didn't say it, God did. But I want you to know something. He said, you can tell when the leaves are coming out on the fig tree, summer's coming. He said, when it becomes like the days of Noah, it's about to happen. Now, by the parable, we can know that we're closer, but we don't know when it will happen. You say, preacher, are we closer to the rapture? Yes, we're closer to the rapture than we were yesterday. I know that. Well, how close are we? I heard that they're already inserting things under people's skin to tell whether they had the vaccine or not. Folks, we don't believe everybody when they were going against Trump. Why do you believe everything they're saying now?
Amen.
Be careful what you read and believe or hear and believe. Well, I saw it on YouTube. Right. I'm not saying some of these things haven't been floated out there. But I know this, it's not coming until Antichrist, and Antichrist doesn't come till Jesus comes back. Now, we read in verses 37 through 39 of Matthew chapter 24. You could read it again in Mark and Luke. God says, as in the days of Noah, what was taking place? Well, it says in verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. That term eating and drinking means this. They were living for pleasure, and that drinking was drinking alcohol. You know that alcohol sales in the last 16 months are up almost 70%. By the way, suicide rates up over 35%. I have dealt with 6 suicides and people telling me of people who have taken their lives, 6 in the last 4 weeks. Seriously. When people lose hope, they take their lives. And I deal with it. This eating and drinking. If you went back to the book of Genesis, you could go back to Genesis chapter 5 and 6 and 7. You'll see some of these things. But this, they lived for pleasure. They lived to satisfy the flesh. Marrying and giving in marriage. That's not just meaning that they had marriage ceremonies. It means that they were perverted in their marriage. Men marrying men, women marrying women, and people not even knowing what they were, whether they were a man or a woman. Well, folks, I hate to tell you, I'm not marrying 2 men or 2 women. Not going to happen here. You say, well, preacher, you're going to hit the news. No, I'm going to hit the newscasters. It's not going to happen here. I'm not part of the alphabet soup, LGBTQ and M-O-U-S-E crowd. I'll preach and get them saved, but they're not going to get married here. I'll only marry church members, and I have a rule about people joining the church that are that way. They have to change. Say why? Because that's scriptural. And I have the right to discriminate on that scripturally and legally. I'll use the term sodomites for those people. It is a term that allows me to use biblical terminology. And the word sodomite is a pretty strong word. They hate that word. You want to offend them real bad? Call them a sodomite once. Woo-wee! You'll watch them turn tail. Yeah, they get really mad when you call them that. You know, don't worry, fellas. They won't hit you with their purse. All right? But eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. By the way, this is also in reference to saved people marrying the wrong crowd. Man, it's a shame what our young people do to their lives who grow up in church and then go out and ruin their life with who they marry. It also says, now watch this. Look at verse number 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? That means this. People didn't listen to the preaching of God's man. They wouldn't listen to the truth of the word of God. They didn't even know that they would be destroyed by the flood because they wouldn't listen to Noah preaching for 120 years. He preached the truth, he preached righteousness, and people ignored it, and they didn't realize they were going to die until the floodwaters came. They kept denying that it would happen. Does that sound familiar today? People were oblivious to God's truth. America is spiritually illiterate. America is deplorably unspiritual. 20 years ago, lost people understood a little bit about the Bible. We are revamping our Sunday school program because the children coming up from ungodly parents and even some church parents who are new to church don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything. Where's Genesis? They don't know. Well, turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse number 16. What's that mean? We have to teach the children what the book of the Bible is, what a chapter is, and what the verse is before they can even find out where it's at. They don't know anything about the Bible. It's tragic. We're going back to the basics, amen? We're putting the school back in Sunday school. We're going to be teaching. Our Sunday school kids are going to memorize verses every week. By the time they, if they start in kindergarten and go through 7th or go through 12th grade, they can memorize a couple hundred verses by the time they leave our Sunday school. I wonder how many people in here could quote a couple hundred. Ouch. I'm not mad at you. 20 years ago, the Twin Towers were bombed and the Pentagon bombed by terrorists. And everywhere you saw, God bless America. Lost people were saying that. Where are they at now? Let's burn their buildings down. Let's burn the city streets down. Let's shoot the cops. Let's get rid of police. Let's defund them. And then let's get mad because they don't come when we need help. That's exactly what it was like in the days of Noah. They were so far from truth, they did not know what the truth of the Word of God was. We're living in the days like it was of Noah. The Bible also says in Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 30, as in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember, Lot went to Sodom, and Abraham pled for Lot's life. Said, maybe I could find 50 righteous. Well, how about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10 righteous people? God said, I'll do it, Abraham. But if you can find 10, I'll do it. And he said, I can't even find 10 righteous people in the entire city. And the angel came and had to drag Lot, his wife, and two of his daughters with him. Had to drag them out of the city to the point where when it started raining fire and brimstone, Lot's wife turned and she turned into a pillar of salt. She became a salt lick for deer, amen? Salt Lick Sally. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Listen to this. God says, when it becomes like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What was it like? They ate and drank to their pleasure. Look at Luke chapter 17. Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse number 28. Skip up to verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, did they eat and they drank and they bought and they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. They ate and they drank. Sound like today's society? You can't go anywhere without seeing booze. Liquor flows like a river in America. It is over a $1 billion industry in America. Matter of fact, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. They say the average 20-year-old gets drunk on average of once every 30 days. And it's not even legal for him to drink. I could solve the problem on college campuses with all the drunken frat parties. Make booze illegal to those that aren't old enough to drink it. How in the world does an 18-year-old get drunk when it's not even legal for him to get it?
Right.
At our American colleges, it promoted it as something you just do in college. Let's have spring break and everybody go to the beach and take all our clothes off and get stone stupid drunk, pick up diseases, barf our guts out, get arrested, live immorally, and regret it the rest of our lives. Boy, that's a fun week at spring break, isn't it? And parents pay for their kids to go do that kind of mess. They ought to be horsewhipped. Eating and drinking, bought and sold. What's that mean? I looked it up. They went into debt to buy the things that they wanted and didn't care about paying their debt back. We call it credit cards. Folks, you run your tabs up on your credit card bill, but I promise you one day it's going to get paid. And when the interest rates start climbing because you got an idiot administration, is that a nice way of saying it? You're going to have troubles. Well, I got all the things I want. Yeah. Did you pay for it? Yeah, I used my card. Careful. Nah, I use a credit card, but I pay it off every month. I pay it off every month. I don't pay interest on it. Don't pay interest on the credit card that I have because I pay it off every month. And I let it work for me because I get extra points because I use it from Cabela's. Ha, ha, ha. Then I get my hunting toys for free. If I'm going to do it, might as well get something for it. Amen? Now, they bought, they sold. Bible says they planted. That's how they would rather go out and go plant things than go to church. That's how they made their living. They builded. The building industry in America is a boom right now. Buying a house in most places in America is almost impossible. My daughter and son-in-law just finally closed on a house. They've probably looked at 40 houses. They've put 5 offers in. They made 4 offers that were $15,000 to $25,000 over asking price and got outbidded. While I was in Maine, I was talking to the pastor there, and he said, is housing as stupid down there as it is here? They had a family in their church. They offered $40,000 over asking price and got outbidded on a house here that isn't near worth what that was. And it's not worth that much up there either. Say, look at all the new housing going up. People building houses everywhere. And the lumber industry is going crazy right now in construction. We also know that Sodom was a sexually perverted place. Need I say any more about America? It was a God-rejecting place. They rejected God and God's man. It's a shame that they're ready to put pastors in jail for keeping their churches open during COVID. Well, come get me. You'll come to the jail and hear me preach. Amen, Brother Juan? I'm not shutting down. Amen. I'm not closing down. I'm not going to put anybody in danger. But let me ask you a question. I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. There's a stomach virus going around, if you haven't noticed. How are people getting it if they got a mask on? Here's the dirty, I did the math this afternoon. There have been over 1,000 people die from getting the vaccine. The death rate on the vaccine is 10% of the death rate of COVID itself. How come that's not being published? Do the numbers. 122 million people have gotten the vaccine, over 1,000 have died. Death rate from COVID is 0.03%. Death rate from the vaccine is 0.008%. It's about 1/10. Everybody doing okay? God rejecting, sexually perverted, money oriented, pleasure society. Sounds like our world today. God tells us to watch for his coming. I've got to shut this down. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24 one last time. Matthew 24, I will close very, very quickly here. Matthew 24, look at verse number 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready for such an hour as ye think not, for the Son of Man cometh. Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming. I don't read the tea leaves, but I can read the leaves on the fig tree. Amen. And the leaves are starting to come out on the fig tree. You better know something. Jesus is about to come back.
Yes, sir.
Learn the parable of the fig tree. As the leaves come out, summer is about to come. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. For as the coming of the Son of Man shall be. We got a lot to get excited about. How about we start living like Jesus is coming back? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The parable of the fig tree. The story isn't the issue, the truth is. The story's not the big part of it, the truth is. But boy, does it illustrate the truth in a powerful way.